Praise God. Well, let's just pray before we open the word this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord. It's so good to be in your presence, Lord. There's nothing better than to be in your house, or nothing better to be with our brothers and sisters, Lord, together, Lord, to honor you and to worship you, Father. And Lord, as we come around your word this morning, Father, we just pray, Lord, just for a touch of your spirit upon every heart and every life this day, Lord, that you'd speak to us, Father. But Lord, that you'd pour your spirit out upon us in a fresh way this day. So Father, we just come with expectant hearts, or with hungry hearts, Lord, that we just don't have just sung about wanting more of you, Lord, and surrendering, Lord. But Lord, that is our heart, Lord. We're hungry for you this day. And so, Father, we just pray that you just touch every heart, Lord. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome this morning. As you know, today is Pentecost Sunday. On the Christian calendar, we have Christmas, which everybody knows Christmas. And it's only about, 7 months away now. It will be less than that now, isn't it? About six and... months and about 3 weeks to Christmas. Hopefully you've started your shopping already. Easter is very significant, obviously, in the Christian calendar. It would be the most significant event on the Christian calendar is the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But another very significant event in terms of Christendom was certainly the day of Pentecost. And we want to look at that this morning. It was the day where you saw someone who was Peter, who had been the denier of Christ, who suddenly gets up and becomes this one that's empowered and then speaks with such authority, with such an anointing of the Spirit of God, that 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God on that one day. And so it's just a transforming power of the Holy Spirit, which is for each and every one of us. And at the end of the service today, we're going to give opportunity. The oversight are going to come, and we're going to be laying hands upon you, and that the Lord is going to fill your heart afresh this day with a filling of the Holy Spirit. And so begin to prepare your heart, be ready for what the Holy Spirit wants to do, for what the Lord wants to do here today. Pentecost was something that's held 50 days after Easter, Sunday. 50 days later is Pentecost, which was on the day of Pentecost, which we'll have a look at. We'll read that in about Acts 2 in just a moment. But that was 50 days after Easter and 10 days after Jesus ascended. Remember, Jesus made appearances across the earth for 40 days before that he ascended into heaven. And so then we had the day of Pentecost, which has its roots in a festival that the Lord himself had set down in the cycle of the Jewish calendar. It was the second main feast they would have as part of the Feast of Weeks. And they had to count off exactly 7 weeks plus the day. So it was 50 days. And 50, the word Pentecost is just the Greek word for 50th day. So it's the 50th day. It was a Jewish festival 50 days after the Passover. They'd celebrated that. They had this festival. It was a part of a harvest festival. But eventually in time it became to represent a festival where they would celebrate when the law was given unto Moses on Mount Sinai, which was 50 days after the Passover, the first Passover, when the angel passed over and there was the Exodus out of Egypt. And so there was certainly this time, it was a significant time of the year, certainly in the Jewish tradition. And as when we read in the Acts 2 in a moment, that's why there's all these people there, because people would come from all over the world to celebrate at that time. And it certainly is a very significant time within the calendar that we have. And so we want to have a look at that this morning. Just a little bit of background before we jump to Acts 2. We have when John the Baptist, and we'll have these scriptures will come quickly. Hopefully you've got a bookmark. There's quite a few scriptures today. And so if you haven't got that, grab one when you leave to make sure you get all the scriptures. It's easy to follow that or follow the screen than trying to turn to them. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, and this was John the Baptist. Remember, we had John the Baptist. He was baptizing. And then John the Baptist speaks about his cousin Jesus, who was coming to be baptized. He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, our theme for this year is on fire. And he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so remember and acknowledge that Jesus, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer of us in the Holy Spirit. He will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it is the one baptism. It's not one baptism of Holy Spirit, then another one of fire. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit of fire. Fire is a symbol used extensively in the scripture of the Holy Spirit. And there's other ones, there's wind, there's oil, there's other symbols of the Holy Spirit. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And part of us being on fire this year and being on fire in the things of God is that we are full of the Spirit of God, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work and burst forth and to flow out of our hearts and out of our lives. And so Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And there was John the Baptist spoke of that. And then Jesus himself spoke about the Holy Spirit coming in John chapter 14, 26. But he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Because Jesus said many things and the disciples were able to record those things writing. They didn't write them down as they went. The Holy Spirit brought to remembrance the things they'd seen and heard. But he promised them that he was going to send this one, this advocate, one who would speak on their behalf. The scripture also tells us that he's our counselor. He is our comforter. He's the one that would guide us and lead us into all truth. He's the one that draws us under Christ. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one that works in our life. And note that I'm saying that he is the one, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he is a part of the Godhead, one of the three part, not a spiritual force. He's not the force that's in Star Wars or anything like that. The Holy Spirit is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, he said that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And then immediately before he came to the time when he ascended to the Father. Remember, we had Easter when Jesus died on the cross. He rose again for 40 days. People saw him walking around the earth and appearing in different places to the apostles at different times and places, and about 11 appearances in all. And one time, 500 people at once saw Jesus walking around before he ascended to the Father. And then Jesus, just before he goes up, just before he ascends to the Father, and they see him going off up into the clouds. And remember, the angel comes and says, "What are you guys looking up there for?" He's risen, but he's going to come back the same way. Amen? Amen. He is coming back. But in Luke 24, 49, and it says this, "Now I will send you the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things." Sorry, I just read that one. "And now I send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father had promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from on high." Or the King James, with the old King James, would have said to tarry in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Just think about that you get power from on high to come upon your heart and upon your life. And that was the promise that Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, he said, "Look, it's actually good that I'm going away." See, sometimes we think, "Oh, wouldn't it be great if, you know, Jesus was walking around with us now?" Well, Jesus actually said, "No, it's better. It's better if I go away, and that if I send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor among you, if I send the Holy Spirit, that he comes, and he comes and is in each of your hearts, and he's one that strengthens and motivates us, sanctifies us, causes us to grow in the things of God, but also clothe us with power from on high, that we'd be his powerful witnesses throughout the earth." And so Jesus said, "It's actually good that I'm going to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you." And so what I want to talk about now is Acts chapter 2. And have a look at the day of Pentecost when the people were gathered together. There's 120 of them had gathered together. And they'd gathered together to come and to pray. Among them, there was the apostles there. The disciples there, they really came into their apostolic authority when they got filled and endowed with power with the Holy Spirit upon their lives. You had Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there praying as well. And Mary herself, she was one who was about to get filled with the Spirit as well. And so they're all gathered together in one place. And so they're praying. So let's just read it from Acts chapter 2. And we'll just read on from there. I'm just going to get this up here. Acts chapter 2 and from verses 1. We'll read this through together. Sorry, we're just frozen up here. Wonderful technology. So we have them all gathered together, ready to pray. And the thing about them when they gather together, when they're here, the thing is that they've come and they're actually hungry for God. They're really hungry from God. And one of the things that is really critical for each and every one of us is our hunger for God. how hungry really are you for God? Well, when we look at the major revivals that have happened around the earth, and you think of the Welsh revival, you think of Azusa Street, you think of in Canada, which we're going to hear about in the Grow Groups, you'll hear about that revival. Even the revival that happened here in Melbourne, where we had 250,000 people over a period of time go to Melbourne Town Hall out of a population of around about 500,000 of that time. That's pretty phenomenal. That happened here in Melbourne. And there's something about being hungry for God, and God honours hunger in people's hearts. And I trust that God has already been cultivating and stirring within your own heart. But you have been fanning into a flame, that you have been taking that response with and say, yes, Lord, I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm so desperate for you, Lord. We've sing about it. And I trust the reality of that is expressed in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And so the scripture says, when the day of Pentecost came, and so this was this was a critical time within the Jewish calendar. But remember, Jesus had instituted the Last Supper, that he said he wants you to come together and to remember him. And so that they were been praying and they'd been crying out for God, and they'd come together on that day. People from all around the world had come, all of the Jewish people who were had come from all the different nations, people living in different countries, people had all gathered here in Jerusalem at that time. And it's interesting that whenever God does something, he wasn't quietly doing that. He made it very public and picked the time when he was going to pour his Spirit out upon the church. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And that's an important thing. They were all together. There was a sense of being together. When you're going to pray, when you're praying, there's got to be that sense of unity. There's got to be the sense of one heart together. There's a together in there. There's a power in that. We know that the Lord commands a blessing when there's unity. That's when the Lord commands his blessing. And so they came together. They came there. They didn't have other agendas. They didn't have any other purpose. They weren't there. They were all the same together. The defining factor is that they were hungry for God and they were desperate for him, and they'd come together, and they were together in one place with one heart, one mind, desperately seeking God and crying out for God's purposes and for his plan. And God honors such a heart when we're hungry and when we come together in his name in one place. And suddenly, all of a sudden, they weren't necessarily expecting this to happen in this way. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, it wasn't actually a wind, you know, it wasn't, they were sitting there and all of a sudden there's all this wind blowing through and they're all getting blown, all the hairs everywhere, and this like, who left the door open? Peter, you've left the door open again. It wasn't this wind, it was like the sound of a wind. It was the sound, it wasn't a physical wind blowing through, it was the sound of a wind. And I don't know if you've any watched any of those clips, but I've seen when they had all of those cyclones which ravished in our northern part of our country going through there. And people that were in there and actually recorded the sound of those howling winds that are going at, you know, 150 kilometres plus an hour, howling winds and the roaring sound of that. If you've ever been at the airport and you've ever been there and you had to go at one of those airports where you don't have the air bridge and you have to walk out to the plane and you hear a plane's engines, you're not even actually really anywhere near this engine, but the roar of the engines, it's this deafening, roaring noise. And that's exactly how it says. It was like the sound of a mighty wind, this roaring noise. And the Lord came because it wasn't a secret thing that he was doing, that this was something that the people who are in the city would have been said, what is that noise? What on earth is going on there? This roaring noise that seems to be contained in this area where they're gathered together, this enormous sound, this like violent rushing wind, this noise that is so loud. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. And so just imagine you're sitting here and you're sitting there and all of a sudden there's this deafening noise. You think, what is going on here? This roar like a mighty wind that is blowing through. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that were separated and came to rest on each of them. And so you imagine this fire that begins to come down and fall from heaven, and it comes down, and as it comes down, these fire, it's just comes down and then begins to separate. So maybe coming down here and there's a part here and then they separate and it comes down and it says it's like little tongues of fire that come down and beginning to settle on everybody's head. And the amazing thing is that every single person there wasn't 119 that got touched. There was 120 people there, and that 120 people were touched. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And so they were endowed with the supernatural prayer language that is for every single one of us believers, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're able to pray with a supernatural prayer language, and that we are able to speak with our own spirit, which is alive in Christ, begins to speak forth. And as we speak in tongues, we're declaring forth mysteries of God. We're beginning to pray in ways. There's times when I'm sure that you want to pray for something, but you don't even know how to pray. You feel like, I got to pray, but Lord, I don't know how to pray this. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this is happening. And there are times then that when we need to cry out, and when we pray, and we pray in the power of the Spirit of God, we begin to pray forth in tongues, and we begin to know, as the Scripture says, that the Holy Spirit is yearning with intercessions. Romans 8, it talks about this, and that we don't know how to pray, but then there's intercessions and there's groanings, there's prayers that are made. And he who knows the mind of God, who searches our heart, and so he knows God's will, he knows our heart, and when we're praying in tongues, those things are coming together in such a powerful way to pray. And so there was the release of the Holy Spirit upon them, which enabled them to pray in this incredible prayer language, which we want to pray for. If you've not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we'd love to pray with you at the end of the service today, because it's such a powerful dynamic that is available for every believer, that we're able to pray in that way. Tells the powerful scripture there, when Jesus, just as again when talking about when he was before he ascended, he said to them that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, all the way even to the ends of the earth, all of Judea, and to the ends of the earth, you're going to be my witnesses. And it gives us a power to be able to witness, to speak forth and declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives you the courage that you may think, well, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but you're filled with the Spirit of God, then he's going to give you the power and the words to know what to say. And so they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, this roaring sound, and then all these people beginning to pray in the Spirit of God, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each of them heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they said, aren't these ones speaking Galileans? Then how is each of us hears them in their own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Thracia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya and East Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring to God in our own language, the wonders of God. And so they're blown away. Amazed and perplexed, they said to one another, what does this mean? Some of them, however, made fun of them and said, oh, they're all drunk. They've had too much wine. They're just all drunk. But then Peter, who was now filled with the Spirit of God, clothed with power on high, he stands up and he says, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show them wonders above and signs on below, and blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Amen. Amen. And because of that message, and it says it later on, it says, and with many other admonishments and teachings and encouragements, that people came, and 3,000 of them received Christ and were baptized on that one day. 3,000 people. What an amazing time the Pentecost was, that the Holy Spirit would come upon our lives in such a powerful way. And then the thing that we all need to understand is that we are a Pentecostal church. And so we believe in the power of Pentecost. Excuse me. And that's why we know we worship in the Spirit. We will pray. We pray in the Spirit because we've been empowered, endued with power from on high. And it's important to understand, and I'm sure most of us understand this, but it is a subsequent experience to our conversion. The moment you give your life to Christ, for the moment you surrender your life, you've confessed your sins, you've repented, you've turned away, you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, allowed Him to wash away the dirt, the filth, the sin, the muck of our life, and allowed His holiness and righteousness to be placed upon our life. From the moment we are born again, we are born of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is then alive within us, indwelling within our hearts. So every believer, every Christian, everyone who's given their life to Christ has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within them, which enables us to work through and show the fruits of the Spirit of God, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which is deep within everyone who has given their heart to Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's such an important thing to understand. From the moment we give our life to Christ, the moment of salvation, there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is like a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance that is to come, that He is the seal that is placed upon our heart and upon our lives, that we are God's, we belong to Him, because we have the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Bible tells us that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, it tells us that our own body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, it says that together we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit dwells within our own heart, within our life. He's dwelling within us when we become a Christian. And certainly for the disciples, so when were the disciples born again? When did the Holy Spirit come and dwell within them? Because it wasn't on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Spirit. The second experience was on the day of Pentecost. But there's this interesting verse before Jesus ascended to heaven in John 20, 22, and He says, "And with that He breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And so that's when they were filled with the Spirit. He said, "You've been cleansed because of the Word, because of My Word, it's made you clean." But He breathed upon them to receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we are born again. When we give our life to Christ, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within our life. Every believer, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within them. As even did the disciples. He breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," in John 20, 22. But the other thing that's of importance is that to understand that there is a separate experience. And Jesus made it clear in two passages, in John chapter 4 and also in John chapter 7. In John 4, and this is when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And she's discussing about water. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again," talking about the water from the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them like a spring welling up for eternal life." And that's like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. It's like the spring welling up to eternal life. It's a spring that's within us. It's for ourselves, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within our heart and within our life. But in John 7, He described it like this. He said, "Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Later receive. They believed in Him, but later they were going to receive the Holy Spirit, who hadn't been given at that point, that would flow out of their life like a river. And that's really why the enduring a power from on high, being clothed in power, being filled with the Spirit, is that the power of the Holy Spirit will flow out of us like a river as we use the gifts of the Spirit of God, as we speak out and as we touch lives, like a river, and it spreads out of us, and not just for ourselves. Our salvation is our own little well. We can draw on that well of salvation. When we're discouraged, when we're going through things, we just draw on the well that's within us, the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. We draw upon the well of the Holy Spirit within us. But then there's the river where the Lord clothes us with power from high, the second experience where we're filled with the Spirit of God, and it empowers us for ministry, for service, that we're able to reach and touch and to minister boldly to people, to share with them when we're filled in such a way as that. And so there is that second experience. And it's quite clear in Acts chapter 8, And here we have Peter and John. And here they are. And they've arrived there. Philip had already done some work here. But they now come on the scene. Peter and John are there, and says, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that these people, they've given their life to Christ, they surrendered their life to Christ, they've been baptized in his name, but the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. And he was indwelling them, but they hadn't been filled, well, with power, clothed with power from high, the Holy Spirit poured upon them, baptizing them, covering them, immersing them. They hadn't had that. They had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't had this subsequent experience upon their life. And also when we see Peter, when he was with Cornelius and Cornelius's family, and that's in Acts 10, you'll see the story there, that these people, that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they got filled with the Spirit and they began to pray in tongues. I'm going to talk about tongues in a moment, just a little bit more. But Acts 19, and this is when, and this this is Paul, when Paul is coming now to Ephesus in Acts 19, it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, I never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And so you'll find that there are people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved. Salvation comes through Christ alone and through the finished work of the cross. That is the point of salvation. That is the point where the Holy Spirit indwells within us. Or in other words, the Spirit of Christ is dwelling within us. That is our salvation. But then, and the many people who live their whole lives and they love God and they're faithful and they can show forth the fruits of the Spirit, and there's a sanctifying process going on as the Holy Spirit is doing his work, but they don't understand what it is to be clothed in, or endured with power from on high, the infilling of the Spirit of God, which is exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost when they gathered together. They were hungry for God and he poured his Spirit out upon them. And the Scripture, the evidence of that, when someone is clothed with power from high, the normal evidence of that is the ability to be able to pray in the supernatural prayer language that we can speak in tongues. Now, the purpose is not just tongues. The purpose is to empower us for ministry, that we're able to be witnesses, that we can testify, that we can declare forth the purposes of God. But the benefit of that, and the sign that the Lord used, was that they were able to speak in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, there was a lot of noise going on. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit, he came down and separated upon each and every one of them. And when the tongue of fire was upon them, then their own human tongue became activated, and then they began to speak this supernaturally languages that were known to men. And it tells us in Scripture, 1 Corinthians, end of 1 Corinthians 13, where it's talking about love. And the whole passage about love, we know that passage well. It talks about that even if I can speak in the tongues of men or angels but have not love, then I'm nothing. So love is very important. Don't mistake that. Don't forget the fruits of the Spirit and the working out of the Holy Spirit in our life is very critical, very important to come forth in our life. But also then there's the element of the power, the fire of God upon us, the Holy Spirit working within our lives. And be able to pray in tongues. Now, very quickly, I'm going to show a little chart which is up there now and go through some of the New Testament there. Obviously, on the day of Pentecost, as we've been said, that they, as the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? They were able to pray in tongues, this supernatural prayer language. And in Acts chapter 8, we have with Simon the sorcerer was there, and Peter and John come down and to sort him out, basically. And they were laying hands on people, but people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He saw something. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't see a tongue coming down upon them. That happened on the day of Pentecost. But he saw something. The only thing we can conclude from that is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. They were praying in tongues. He saw something because he said, I want the ability to do that. And Paul goes, boom, he lets him have it and says, your heart is so off, so wrong, and really tells him off. And next 10, as I said, Cornelius' household. And the believers that were with them, there's amazing. Look, these are Gentiles, yet, and they made the conclusion, well, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit just as us, because we can see them, we can hear them speaking in tongues. So who? How dare we now try to stop them getting baptized? The Lord's baptized them, clothed them with power on high, and therefore we're going to let them be baptized in water. The usual pattern in Scripture, though, of course, is people were baptized in water and then filled with the Holy Spirit. But God can do whatever he wants. And again, in Acts 19, in Ephesus, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in tongues. It's the sign of that. The Apostle Paul, he says that I praise God, I speak in tongues more than any of you. He saw the power in that. When we're speaking in tongues, the Scripture tells us, it says when we're praying in the Spirit, it builds itself up. It's like a wall, like putting things together. You build yourself up spiritually. People do all sorts of stuff. They go down to gyms, spend a lot of money on memberships that half the time they don't even use. Some people do, and good on them for that. A lot of people spend time at education and they're learning a whole lot of stuff, building up their mind and their sharpness, their intellect. But the most important thing we should be building up is our spirit. Those things are all good, but you want to build up your spirit, you pray in tongues, you build up, you edify your spirit. It's so important that we do that. And so I want to pray for us this morning. We've been that you may be one who said, well, yeah, look, I'm a believer. And yes, you're born again and you're saved and the Holy Spirit indwells within your heart. But I haven't had this subsequent thing where I've been clothed with power from on high, as happened on the day of Pentecost. And today we'd like to pray with you if you're like that today. You haven't broken through in that. You haven't had the release of that. And it's an easy thing to receive. It's a gift. Luke 11 says it's a gift. It says, you know how to give good gifts to your children, even though you're evil, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so it's an easy thing to receive the gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit being clothed with power from on high, that we're able to have power to witness with such an authority, to exercise spiritual gifts, to be able to reach out and to flourish and to walk in all of those things, to be able to pray and to know the leading, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to have that power of the Spirit within our life, that we can truly be on fire for God. And so we want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for all of us. Also, and you might be one that said, yes, well, I've been filled with the Spirit and I can pray in tongues. Or maybe that's the case, but maybe you've neglected that. Maybe you don't pray in tongues. You rarely pray in tongues. Can I encourage you to do that? As the Apostle Paul says, he says, I praise God, I pray in tongues more than any of you. Paul was a mighty man of God. Why? Yeah, he had a calling and he had a grace upon him, but also he understood the power of prayer and praying in the Spirit, and so he would pray. And so maybe if you've let that wane down, the Lord's encouragement to you today is to get that going again. But for all of us, you know, we have Acts chapter 2, but following Acts chapter 2, there's Acts chapter 3, and where they do the miracle, and you've got the beggar, and then you come to Acts chapter 4, and that's when they get in a lot of trouble for doing the miracle. This beggar that gets miraculously healed is walking and leaping and praising God, and they get hauled off and get in trouble for that. And then they get held, but they get released, and then they come back, and they have another prayer meeting and they're praying and they say, Lord, consider their threats, what they've said. And they said, but Lord, stretch forth your hand with miraculous signs and that we might and that we might also be emboldened to speak your word. And it says, the whole place was shaken and they were filled with the Spirit. Now, they'd already been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but there are times when God will just pour his Spirit out again. He'll just pour his Spirit upon us again. And maybe you're here this morning, Philly, I just need that again. I just need that fresh empowering of the Spirit upon my life, to be poured upon my life. And we'd love to pray with you that that will happen to you today. Certainly if you don't know Christ, then the first thing is to become born again, be born of the Spirit of God, and then to be clothed with power upon high, allowing to baptize you, fill you, to overflowing with the power of the Spirit of God upon your heart and upon your life. So we want to pray for some people today. In fact, my heart is to pray for everyone today. It's up to you if you really want to get prayed for, how hungry you are, how desperate you are. If you want to get prayed for, we'd love to pray with you today. And just really trust that God wants to pour his Spirit upon you in a powerful way. But if you've never received Christ, we certainly want to pray with you. And if you've come to church and you love God and you're saved and you're born again, but you've never broken through, then wow, you know, you're a little bit like these Ephesians. Well, like, you know, we didn't actually realize about the Holy Spirit. If you haven't broken through in that, we'd love to pray with you. Because it's for every believer, for every Christian, every believer, that we are endued with power from on high. And that we have this prayer language, so we're able to pray. Because there's so many times, you know, I don't know what to pray. You want to pray the Lord's will, but you say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. No, you're a good God, but Lord, I really feel a burden to pray. You know, you want someone's on your heart. You don't even know what their circumstances are. You just have someone in your heart. I know, I just got to pray for them. Don't know how to pray. Say, Lord, bless me. Well, that's a bit of a Lord bless everyone. But you're praying in the spirit. It can be targeted in a session where you're praying according to the need and according to the situation. You can be very powerful if you allow that dynamic of the spirit to be released in your life. So let's stand together. We're going to spend some time praying. And I'm going to ask the oversight to come after I pray. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you'd love to do that, just come and say, "Yeah, look, I want to get baptized in the Spirit of God." If you come and say, "Yeah, look, I just need that infilling upon my life again," you know, life has just left me dry. I've just been buffered around. I just need that fresh infilling of the Spirit of God upon my life. Would love to pray with you as well. And I know the Lord really wants to do something this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday, and God wants to do something. And so let me just pray for us, and I'm going to invite the oversight to come. And then if you want prayer, we're just going to take some time to pray. So, Father, we just thank you. Father, we just, first of all, we thank you for our salvation, which is alone in Jesus Christ, alone by the cross of Christ, alone by our yielding of the cross of Christ do we have salvation. We thank you, Lord, that at that moment of salvation, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. But, Lord, there's in there that infilling of the baptizing, the clothing with power on high. Father, and I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that hasn't had that experience of you, Lord, that hasn't had that equipping, Lord. They're in the army, Lord, but they haven't got their weapon, Lord, and have been able to move in the things of the Spirit of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as they come this day, Lord, with an open heart, Lord, that you're just going to touch them, Lord, as hands are laid upon them, Lord, as they just love you with all their hearts. Lord, you're just going to fill them, Lord, with them. They'll break forth, Lord, with the evidence of being able to speak in tongues, that wonderful prayer language, Lord, that supernatural prayer language, Father. And so, Lord, I just pray for that in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray again, Lord, for all those, Lord, that may be just really struggling, Lord, and say, Lord, just touch me again. Touch me again, Lord. I need your touch this day. Lord, I've let things of this life get on top of me, Lord, but Lord, I just need a touch of your Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, that you're going to pour your Spirit out afresh this day in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare we're hungry for you, Lord. And Lord, even on the day of Pentecost, Lord, they came, Lord, they were desperately seeking you. Lord, we come with such a heart now, Lord, that you will touch each one in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to have